Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Lindsay Vickers, and I will be the host for today's Hinckley Forum. The Hinckley Institute of Politics was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 55 countries around the globe. The Hinckley Institute also offers classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences to Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to our website, www.hinckley.utah.edu, for more information. The Hinckley Institutes of Politics proudly presents the 17th Annual Rocco C. and Marion S. Siciliano Forum. This year's theme is the future of U.S.-Latin American relations. This is one of 21 events that will extend through next Monday. For a listing of all events, we encourage you to pick up a brochure at the back of the room. The title of today's forum is Education, Leadership, and Success. Carlos Martins, the English teacher who graduated more than 100 millionaires in Brazil. Courtney Macbeth, the Associate Director of the Hinckley Institute, will be introducing our guest.
Carlos, thank you so much for making your way to Salt Lake City to be with us today, and thank you so much to Carlos's family who made their way from Utah County to the University of Utah campus to be here today. Carlos was born in Curitiba, Brazil. As a teenager, he learned English from Mormon missionaries. Later, he came to Utah and graduated from Brigham Young University with a bachelor's degree in computer science and statistics. After graduation, he returned to Brazil and opened Wizard Language Schools, a franchising system which in turn became the largest chain of language schools in the world. Last year, Carlos sold his business to British Pearson for $750 million, the largest acquisition made by Pearson outside the U.S. Carlos Wizard Martins is above all an educator. He has educated thousands and graduated more than 100 millionaires in Brazil. He is the author of the best-selling book, Awaken the Millionaire Within. In the LDS Church, he serves as a bishop. He is married to Vanya. They are the parents of 6 children and have 15 grandchildren. Most importantly, however, I want to note that Carlos Martins is perhaps the most genuine and kind person I've ever met, and I appreciate so much his friendship and his friendship to the Hinckley Institute, and also for his kindness in helping us send more than several dozen students to China to work in his Wizard Language Training School in China. And that was a remarkable experience for our students to be able to work for a Brazilian business in Tianjin, China. So with that, I'll turn the time over to my friend Carlos Martins.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. And recently, Governor Gary Herbert, accompanied by Professor Kirk Jowers and Courtney Macbeth, director, visited Brazil, and I had the chance to meet with them. And that was when Professor Kirk Jowers made the invitation for me to attend this forum and speak to students, professors, and attendees. So I'll speak for 30 minutes, and after that, we'll have a question and answer session. As Courtney mentioned, when I was a teenager, I wanted to learn English. At that time, my parents, that I'm very glad that are in attendance, along with my brothers and sisters, my parents didn't have the resource to enroll me at a private school. But at that moment, they were looking for direction so that they could have a family values and, above all, keep the family in unity. And that was when they met the missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was 12 years old then, and I started learning English from those American missionaries. And they put a dream in my mind, in my soul, in my heart, and that dream never left my soul, my heart, and my spirit. Because they said, one day, Carlos, you will have the chance to go to the United States, and you can have the opportunity to study in an American institution. Well, my parents had 7 children. My parents had a hard time just raising those kids, thinking that the son could go to the United States to study in an American university was almost like an impossible dream. But somehow, I began to believe that success happens when preparation meets opportunity, and that I should believe that that dream could become true. So, at age 26, finally, I was accepted at Brigham Young University. And I know that we have some international students here in the audience. So what I say to international students is this: come to America, get your graduation, but then return to your home country. Because if you stay here in America, the competition is too high, and you're going to be one more in the crowd. But if you go back to your home country, you have many more opportunities that you have if you stay here in America. So that's what happened to me. I returned back to Brazil, and at that time, all that I wanted was to build a career as a business executive, working Monday through Friday. And here in America, you work from 9 to 5. In Brazil, you work from 8 to 6. So that's my routine when I got back home. But the course of my career changed one day when a colleague from work asked this: Carlos, can you teach us some evening classes, some English evening classes? And then I thought, if I start teaching English at night, that means some extra money in the pocket. And extra money in the pocket doesn't hurt anyone. So I start teaching at home. One student, two students, three students. One class, two classes, three classes. Up until the moment, I had no free time in the evening for another student. I was married, so I went to talk to my dear wife, Vanya. And look how the husband talked to the wife when he wants something from her. Sweetheart, dear, there are some friends at work that they want English classes, and I don't have more time. Can you teach some evening classes as well? And my wife thought this way: well, teaching some English classes at night means more money for me to go shopping. Why not? So she followed the same methodology. One student, two students, three students, up until the time that we didn't have any more time. So that was a moment of a decision in our course. What should he do now? Should he open a school? And then I did that which most people do when they are facing a moment of a decision. I went to talk to my friends to see what my friends were going to tell me. So now I'm going to ask you, what do you think that my friends told me at that time when I was trying to decide if I should or should not open the school? You have seen this presentation already? But everything that you are thinking now in your mind, my friends told me: Carlos, you're crazy. Don't do that. Too much competition, bad economy. And some even had the guts to say, Carlos, you need to understand that this thing of teaching English at home in the evening doesn't bring any bright future to anyone. So after so much motivation, enthusiasm, encouragement from my friends, what do you think that I did? I tell you that I didn't expect such negative comments from them. I confess to you that I went home and I cried. And my friends, what did they do? Ha, 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 ha. I knew that he was going to give up. I knew that this was not going to prosper. I knew that this plan was not going to succeed. Isn't this way that many times our friends react? You have a beautiful plan, project. You have so many ideals. And they have all the reasons why your plan is not going to work. Isn't that so? Well, time passed by. And today, I am the one that laughs. And some of my friends cry. And why is that some of my friends cry? Because maybe they also had some plans, some projects, some ideals, some dreams, but they were so focused on their fears, imaginary ghosts, that they never gave themselves a chance for them, for their plan to come true. So now you know how Wizard started, not only Wizard, but in time we made acquisitions of other companies, so that in total we built a chain of 3,000 schools, providing 45,000 jobs, servicing in 10 countries each year, teaching approximately 1 million students, $2 billion in sales each year, and as was announced here, we recently sold our business to Pearson for this very generous amount of money. So many people ask me, Carlos, how do you explain this success from coming from such a humble beginning, teaching at home, such a basic concept, to making a multi-million dollar business? So if you want to know the answer, you must go to Amazon and make the download of this book, Awaken the Millionaire Within. It only costs $4.99. I'm not going to tell you the answer now, but you're going to find out through the Amazon, okay? It's been on the best-selling list for 3 years now. Now, let me tell a little bit about Brazil. Many of you have been to Brazil and are very familiar with our country. But in recent years, Brazil has become one of the world's largest producers of oils. Not only that, but 80% of the cars that are produced in the country, they have a second alternative as fuel. In other words, ethanol is the main source of fuel for the cars. You buy any car in the country produced in Brazil, you can either put gas or you can use ethanol in the engine. As you know, Brazil also has one of the largest reservations of water of the planet, and my dad always says that gas is cheap, because when you stop and think, if water starts, we have a lack of water, soon we're going to pay much more for the water than we pay for fuel. And Brazil is also a great producer of food. And in recent years, due to the policies of the federal government, we have a population of approximately 50 million people that they were below the level of poverty, and now they have money in their pocket and are new consumers, and they're willing and they're eager and they're really thirsty for consumption. I compare this to the population of Argentina. It's almost like if you had entire Argentina in Brazil with the money in the pocket for consumption. Now, do we have our challenges? Certainly do. If you stop and think, you don't need to go very far. As soon as you get to the airport in Brazil, you know that we have a problem of infrastructure. So the World Cup helped us, because many of the airports, they were remodeled, they were expanded. There were lots of construction in the airports, but still, we need lots of infrastructure in the country. High tax is a problem? It certainly is. I don't know any other country in the world that has so many taxes as we do in Brazil. So for any business people, company, corporation interested in doing and developing business in the country, that's a main challenge. Labor laws, we don't understand, let alone foreigners investors don't understand, because it's such a mess that you need to have lawyers to protect you as an investor, or else you're going to get ripped off for sure. In addition, bureaucracy is something that we also don't understand. I was in Moscow 2 years ago, a mission of Brazilian entrepreneurs, president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, at that time, and she was talking how we could increase the two countries, the commercial balance, and how it could increase the position of Brazil. One of our Brazilian entrepreneurs in the group said, Mrs. President, we have a problem. We produce meat, but the meat that we produce was not approved by the Russian government. We made all the specifications. We met all the specifications that they wanted us to meet. And after a year, they went to Brazil and they approved our meat. So now we have the credential for the Russian government to import our Brazilian meat. And as soon as we had that, we sent a request to federal government to approve the exportation of our product to Russia. And it's been more than a year. We have not yet received a reply from the government. So here we have the production. Here we have the Russians. Here they have the money. And here the Brazilian entrepreneurs want to sell, but the government just puts in the drawer and doesn't move a finger. So who can understand a country like this? I cannot. So these are challenges that we face in our everyday circumstance. And of course, I could not skip mentioning the problem of corruption. Corruption has become such a huge problem that every day we have new scandals, and the scandals do not scandal the people anymore. So this is a tragedy for the culture and for the country as an institution. However, people ask me, Carlos, but do you think that Brazil is a land of opportunity or not? So let me tell you two things. First, we are a very poor country as far as quality of service is concerned. Any company, any corporation that is willing to offer a product or service of superior quality immediately will have a difference in the market. And regardless of all this lack of structure, the taxes, labor laws, corruption, bureaucracy, believe it or not, in Brazil today, we have 40 new millionaires each day in the country. 40 new millionaires today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, by the end of the month, over 1,000 new millionaires in the country. This is not happening in Argentina. It's not happening in Mexico, Colombia, but it's happening in Brazil. So as I say, we can see that bottle of water half full or half empty, depending on how we see it, how we interpret, and how we act on the information that we have. And the question that people many times ask me is, what are some of the concepts that you followed in order to make a domestic activity into a world success leader? So most of the information you find on the Amazon, but I'll give you some hints here. I usually say that success is based on some emotional and some rational elements. And if we are too emotional, we're not going to succeed. Courtney and I know a professional, very qualified professional, who 2 or 3 weeks ago lost her dog, right, Courtney? And she just panicked. She paralyzed. She cannot move. She had lots of projects that she was conducting. And for 3 weeks, she is not being able to function because she lost her dog. Dear friends, I love animals. I love pets. But whatever happens to my pets, life goes on. We have bills to pay at the end of the month, right, Courtney? So we must be able to balance our emotional elements with our rational elements. And if the individual is too rational, also doesn't work. So this combination is deeply necessary. So on the emotional element, let's think for a moment. In your past, some of the students here don't have too much past, right? But in our past, your past and my past, do you think that we made mistakes, we made wrong decisions, we took the wrong course, We had some loss. We had some disaster, accident happened to us. Certainly we did. Now I found out that those people that succeed, they're able to abandon those negative situations from the past, and they're able to project themselves into a new scenario. And unfortunately, there are many, many people that are tied to the past. Do you know people like this? I know. And do you know what happened to these people? They do not prosper because they spend all their energy, all their capacity, all their talent suffering from past mistakes, situations that were negative, and there's nothing that they can do in order to change what happened 5, 10, 15 years ago. Now I found out, and you see this when you buy the book on the Amazon, that I described two major reasons why we have so many poor people in the world. And it doesn't matter if we live here in the United States, Canada, Asia, Europe, or Latin America. There are two reasons. I'm going to explain one now, and later on I'll explain the second. Did you know that the poor has a poor way of thinking? Poor people have a poor way of thinking. They do or they do not? They do. And most poor people, they think this way. My grandparents were poor. My parents were poor. I was born poor. I will die poor. Are there people that think this way? There are. And do you know what's going to happen to these people? They're going to die poor. Because they have already accepted poverty as a permanent condition. And those that succeed, regardless of their negative situation in the present, they're able to see themselves, visualize themselves, project themselves into a new scenario of success, of achievement, of realization. I found out also that all those people that succeeded, they were able to create and develop a great team of professionals. Now, when we hire a new employee to our company, we expect him to come 100% ready to produce results the next day. Isn't it so? I found out that this does not happen. We need to develop, to invest, to train, to qualify, to prepare that team. And some companies do this very well, and others do not. Those that do, they reach the results that they desire. And those that do not, of course, they stay behind. Principle number 4, focus on the client. I found out that the company is a reflection of the image of the one that leads the company. So if he's a lawyer, all the contracts will be in perfect shape, with due respect to all lawyers present. If he is an accountant, the accounting part of the company is going to be 100% very well done. If he is a technician, I'm sure all the systems are going to be working perfectly. But the question is, who is taking care of the client? And if you don't have focus on the client, we can have the best contracts, we can have the best system, we can have even the best product. But if we don't focus on the client, we're not going to go too far. Concept number 5. I found out that each business needs to have a specific strategy of growth, development, and expansion. And this strategy, in the beginning, it's in your mind. And you must be able to remove the strategy from your mind and make a cycle of success in a way that the strategy becomes a plan of action. What you're going to do first, in the second stage, third stage, until the end of the project. And I found out also that many people, they're great planners, but they're very poor executors. So we need to plan well, yes. We must plan well. But then we must execute the plan that we planned. And then when we go out to the market, when we go out to the street, when we go out to the client, we're going to find out that some plans work and some plans do not work. And that's the point when some people give up because they think, well, the plan was so good, so well, but it didn't work. Dear friends, not every plan is going to work every time. Some plans will work and some plans will not work. That's why we have the moment of assessment. And the next step is correction. What's working? We're going to perpetuate. What's not working? We have two options. Either we make adjustment on the process, or we completely delete, abandon, leave behind what's not working. And then you go back to the strategy. And then somebody's going to say, but Carlos, we went back to the beginning. No, we did not go back to the beginning. Because from time to time, I found out that we need to have a new strategy. Because maybe the strategy that worked in the past will not work today. And maybe the strategy that's working today will not work in the future. So this is why I call it the cycle of success. Now, it doesn't matter if you're an executive, a professional, or if you have your own company. More important than knowing how to earn your money is how you develop the ability of saving, the ability of making a reservation each month of part of that income. And then I propose a question. Is it easier to earn or to save? And then you're going to find out soon that it's much easier to earn. If you go downtown Salt Lake now and you stop 100 people and we ask them, do you earn money, do you have salary, or you earn or had salary in the past, 100 people will say to us, yes, I know how to earn. If we ask the same 100 people, every month, do you put some money apart? Do you save part of what you receive as your income? From 100, how many people will say yes? 25. One? Maybe two? Who knows, three? Hardly four? Very difficult, five? Unfortunately, my dear friends, that's the reality. And this is the second reason why we have so much poverty in the world today. Regardless of the country, regardless of the culture, people will only prosper if they learn how to save. This means that part of what you earn every month does not belong to you. Part of your income each month belongs to your creation of your future wealth. But if you never stop to create your wealth, you're never going to have your wealth. And if you don't do this for yourself, nobody is going to do it for you. So, dear friends, we're going to take a test now to measure the financial stability of each one of you that's present at this presentation. Can we? Doesn't take more than 30 seconds. Think for a moment that you don't have any new income. You're not going to receive any wages, salaries. No new money is going to come to your hands. And you have to survive only with the money that you have accumulated over the years. Question, how long would you be able to survive? I see some happy faces in this audience. And I see some non-happy faces in the audience. I proposed this question in Brazil recently, and one girl raised her hand and said, Carlos, I would be able to survive for another 6 hours. Do you learn how to save in poverty or in wealth? In poverty. Because if we never learn how to save when we are poor, we will always be poor. So, if anybody in this audience this afternoon consider himself in a state of poverty, you're in the best moment of your life to make a big change and start saving. Beginning now. Okay, and concept number 7, seek your divine origin. Do you know what I found out? People that lead a life of faith, regardless if he's a Christian or Jewish, Buddhist or Muslim, he is connected with his divine source. And he faces life with a positive attitude, with confidence. He is able to deal better with his co-workers, with his business partners, with his clients, with people in general. He overcomes his difficulties in a more positive way. He faces challenges in a more positive attitude. At the end, he has much more confidence in himself and in others. So, even as a matter of intelligence, I encourage people to seek the guidance, direction, and inspiration from God that will be able to give you answers to whatever situation you find yourself in, regardless if it's professional, if it's family, it's business, it's financial, education, academy, politics, doesn't matter. I like very much that verse from Matthew 7:7 that says, seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Verse 8 is very good too. It says that everyone that seeks finds, everyone that asks receives, and everyone that knocks to him, it shall be opened. So I end my presentation at this moment saying, if you're really after success, believe in yourself, believe in God, believe in the people around you, believe in your dreams, whatever dreams you might have, and believe in your infinite potential. Thank you very much.
So the remainder of our time is going to be devoted to questions. If you have a question, we ask that you raise your hand, state your names and a little bit about yourself, and speak clearly into the microphone. Questions?
Oh. Great presentation. My name is Wesley Smith. I'm the founder of a tech company here in town. I'm really curious if you could describe the unique aspect of your school and how you're able to grow. And then if you could describe how you were able to keep the quality of that unique aspect of the training as you grew into other countries, and then also whether you used any kind of social media in the curriculum in your learning platform.
Great question. I'm glad that you asked. Three specifics for you, my friend Smith. First, most of the schools in Brazil, when I returned, they had 3, 4, 5-year program for anyone to speak a second language. We offered a program that he could, in a short period of time, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, get immediate results. And after that, the student would have the option to continue his course. Second, we either would grow by having our own stores, schools, our own locations, or we would have partners. So we chose to develop and expand through the franchising system. So today, I'm really convinced that a large part of our success is based on the expansion that we did through franchising. And third, regardless the media and the social aspect and the connectivity with students, we did the social media as far as promoting and marketing, but we didn't involve in teaching or the content or the curriculum that we used.
Thank you, Carlos. My name is Carolina. I'm also from Brazil. I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts and advice to entrepreneurs who seek a development of business in a franchise structure? Please.
You're talking about the United States? You're talking about Brazil platform?
United States, please.
Three counsels, devices, hints I give to anyone that is interested in opening their business. If you don't want to take too much risk, franchising is a great chance because you get a brand that's already recognized by the public. You get a line of products and service that have been tested, tried, and they have proven that are successful. In addition, you have a large format of training that the franchisor offers you as a new franchisee. In addition, you get all the transfer from the accumulated years of experience from that chain to your new location. And most importantly of all, you get the marketing that has been done over the years accumulated to that brand name that you are going to explore, and your immediate recognition between the public before the public that you are going to explore. So franchising, I really recommend.
My name is Jessica Talbot, and I'm a pre-medical student here at the University of Utah. And I'm really inspired by your story, and I wondered what advice you would give to students who are going into non-traditional fields and how you would, what you would tell them to keep going.
One of the fundamental elements for anyone to achieve success is to be able to identify within him or her a talent, a natural ability, a certain gift, God-given gift, that he has, and he must be able to transform that ability into a money-making project. And when I say a money-making project, I'm not talking about a large corporation. I always say that there's a big difference between you opening a company and you having a money-making activity. Income-making activity. So when I start teaching English, did I run to open a corporation? No. I start teaching at home for few students, and that number of students kept growing. So, Jessica, right? So the student must identify his natural ability, how he can turn that natural ability into a income-making source of income. And third, then he must qualify himself in that field. When I started my school, I was not a professional education, but each opportunity I had, I attend seminars, I attend courses, conventions, expositions, both in Brazil and abroad, so that I could qualify myself in that field.
My question is similar. I'm Chaz Allen. I'm one of the graduate students of Latin America Studies Department. But again, an amazing and inspiring story. If you feel comfortable, would you mind commenting on your personal experience as far as going from poverty to becoming a millionaire and how that affected you in your personal life and your family?
I was asked this question about a month ago in Brazil. And I gave a very simple answer to the young man that asked. But ever since I gave that answer, I've been thinking about it and the impact of that answer. So, anybody that is willing to pay the price to become successful in whatever endeavor, whatever project, whatever field, he must be able to face some challenges after he reaches success. For example, every day, and I mean every day, you're going to receive an email from somebody asking you to loan money to him. He wants you to lend money to him. So you must be ready to face this. Every day, somebody wants you to employ him because he thinks in the entire world you must employ him. So you must have a way to deal with that. Every day, somebody wants to sell you a product or service to your company because they think in the entire world your company is going to be able to save his company. Every day, somebody's going to try to sell you some very exotic thing, an island in the Pacific, the most gorgeous yacht, this recently brand new launched new plane that only you can buy. And fifth, you got to be ready that once in a while, Courtney and Kirk will send you an email inviting you to come to Utah to speak to students. So if you're ready to face all these situations, you're ready to face success.
Carl.
Yes.
Oh, eu estou aqui. Eu queria falar português com você, mas eu vou ter que falar inglês para eles entenderem. How many people speak Portuguese here? Raise your hand. Well, many of them. But anyway, I will respect everyone and speak in English. So thank you for coming. And my question, well, I guess I should identify myself, right? JR is how I'm known, and I have a psychology degree. I really liked when you mentioned that people are who they believe they are, meaning like if they believe they're poor, they're poor. If they believe they're rich, they're rich, or whatever else they believe they might become. I meditate most days now, and I do like the idea that you can manifest things starting in your mind, and then you go and work for it. The one thing I notice is opportunities also are pivotal to this approach to life, meaning I want a BMW that I never had. Okay, so how am I going to do that? Am I going to just work for, or am I going to dream about, or am I going to manifest in some way physically? I don't know all the answers for that, but I do know the opportunities, for example, like a really good job opportunity. I'm sorry? Yes. I'm trying to summarize, but anyway, so how will you go about to manifest your ideas?
The question that I'm asked almost every week, ever since I launched the book Awaken the Millionaire Within, is, Carlos, do you believe that everyone can become a millionaire? And my answer to this question is yes, based on three conditions. First, the individual must have the desire to achieve this status. Not everyone is going to become a millionaire just by not thinking or desiring or visualizing or planning or preparing for it. So desire is the first step. Second, desire is not only enough. He must be able to transform, to change, to turn that desire into a business plan that he is able to meet the needs of the market on a broad scale. You cannot start a business that you're going to meet the needs of your street, your neighborhood, your city. You must meet the need of the needs on a large scale. And third, you must follow the rules, the principles, concepts, and the laws that turn the condition, financial condition of individual, how he is today, and turn into a successful financial individual. So anyone that has the desire, turn his desire into a business project on a large scale and follow the financial rules, he will achieve the condition of a new millionaire. We have one more question, and then our time is up.
Carlos, my name is Jimmy Peixoto. I'm from Brazil, and I'm the founder of a company down there that we help companies sell unsold inventory in exchange for helping some of the charities that we work with in Brazil. It's similar to Overstock.com here in America. We're trying to bring the company here to America. We're in the process of raising capital, and it's extremely hard. And I want to know, in your business, did you ever go raise capital? How was it? When was the time when you said, I need a partner to make my business bigger, and how did you go about selling your business to them?
So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I never needed the money. From that day that I start teaching at home, one student, two students, three students, I start making extra income, and it has never stopped up until now. So I never went to the bank, I never went to the government, I never went to any financial institution to ask for a loan. On the reverse, these guys always came knocking on our door asking for money and for partnership. So when the business developed, we had a very good financial reserve in cash, and it turned out that we never needed. Now, as I said, these are business models. Each one needs to have his own strategy. And of course, some activities do depend on having financial assistance and loans and all that science. So I said I'm sorry that I'm disappointed because I don't have too much experience as far as that goes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
We're going to turn things over to Kirk Jowers now, and he's going to wrap the forum up.
Carlos, thank you so much. It really does show that it pays to go to breakfast. Carlos and I went to breakfast about 7 years ago. Had no idea who this guy was that they wanted me to meet, but I loved him, and it started a friendship, and I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you've proven the need for our new building, which we'll break ground on next year. We've got people in various rooms watching on closed circuit, so I appreciate all of those people who couldn't see him in person that you're able to hear him this way, as well as radio and the other things. Finally, twice a year, the Hinckley Institute recognizes two people as Hinckley Fellows. Some of our past fellows have included authors Thomas Friedman and Malcolm Gladwell, former presidential candidate Mitt Romney, former Prime Minister of Israel Yitzhak Rabin, and Oslo Peace Accord Yair Hirschfeld, and the list goes on. For this semester, and what it does, it recognizes someone who has lived a lifetime of service and commitment to ideals, commitment to improving the intelligence and the ability of people to succeed, whether through public service or otherwise, and also has been willing to come and participate at the Hinckley Institute. And you have been doing that for the last 7 years, and, of course, have spoken here today. So if you wouldn't mind, come up and receive this plaque as our 2015 Hinckley Fellow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll put that out there. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This is one forum out of 21 events, public events, in the next over these past 8 days, including ambassadors and other leaders from Latin America, as well as coming in from Washington, D.C. and otherwise. We encourage you to pick up a brochure or go to our website and attend as many as you can. We appreciate your attendance today. Thank you.